Alrighty, guys, we are gonna jump in, and we've got a bunch of stuff to kind of cover that hopefully is gonna be good. This is actually gonna be the last training, the actual new training. We're gonna spend the next 3 weeks to close out the semester out in review and giving you a template that you guys can then take outside of here and use as you guys desire. And so I'm hoping that we can pay attention to this last piece and then dive in. So first, let's review. Last time, we looked at initiating, facilitating, and participating. Does anybody remember an example of initiating? Any form of initiating fellowship?
Thinking of a call you
want to
start.
Yep, so just initiating a call, that's a great one. Facilitating. Anybody remember an example of facilitating biblical fellowship?
Having a cog in your house
that you're hosting?
And attending a cog
in your house. Look at that. With one breath, we've got it all. Man, these people are just doing it. All right. Then we also looked at how pride and shame get in the way of biblical fellowship. And we used a couple of these bubble letters here saying, I can do all this by myself. I don't want to be like my friends who are always burdening other people by asking for help. I've got this. That's one of the fastest ways to crash and burn. So none of us ever truly have it. Couldn't Mr. Y manage to bring something when he comes to the Bible study? He can't be that busy. And so obviously the tone and everything like that kind of gives you this impression that the person's acting out of pride. But somebody can also act out of shame. All I have is the energy to show up to community group and maybe buy some brownies to bring. People must think I'm lazy. Mrs. Z hosts every time. Why can't I pull it together? So oftentimes we're looking at comparison, shame, and things like that. Somebody else can say, I'm new to Christianity. Everyone else knows so much theology. I'm scared to speak up because I know so little about the Bible. And so they're just feeling ashamed that they haven't learned enough yet, and they're going to get there. And so any one of these can be examples. Today, what we want to look at as the last topic, last new topic, has to do with boasting, because boasting shows up in a variety of ways. So the first thing we want to do is kind of define it, and we want to go with a biblical definition of boasting, which is to give praise for actions or accomplishments. Anytime that we are boasting in ourselves, we're taking praise that belongs to God alone. So the big thing with boasting is the focus. Definitely should be boasting on the Lord. When we're boasting on ourselves, we're typically heading south. It's not a good sign. And part of it has to do with where the word boast comes from. So in Hebrew, the word boast is mahalel, which literally means to praise. Mahalel is related to the word hallelujah. In the Greek, we see the word whatever that is, which means to get, to glory in, to lift up, to exalt in, or to emphatically declare. If any of you are Greek scholars, go to town on that one for me. And I should have looked it up before I walked into this place, but I forgot to look it up. Anyway, I don't know what that word is, but it's the word that starts with K. Let's go that way. Now, boasting can be positive when we boast in God, like I just said, but it can also be negative when it's applied to an unworthy subject. So let's go backwards a little bit. What would you guys say leads to boasting? So what causes someone to boast? Either positive or negative. Pride. What else causes somebody to boast? Yep.
Insecurity.
What else causes somebody to boast? Yep. Lack of humility. What else causes someone to boast?
Accomplishment.
What else causes somebody to boast?
Misattribution of something good.
Awesome. What else causes somebody to boast?
It's all about me.
It's all about me. Now back to me. Me. More, right? So oftentimes what we see is sources of boasting can kind of come in two different categories. They could either come from shame or they can come from pride. So let's just break that down a little bit. In shame, what we do is we embrace false beliefs about ourselves that lead us to feel unworthy. I'm useless to my church. Now, oftentimes people don't realize that when we're boasting or when we're giving it to shame, it actually is a form of boasting. Why would you say, when we're doing something like this, that it's a form of boasting? Why would shame be a form of boasting?
Well, especially where I...
Yep.
I think it's because you're actually saying that you're less than you are
Christ. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. So the basic idea here is we've decided that we can define ourselves. God does not define us. We define us. And since I'm taking away what God, what I cannot take away from God, only God can define me, in a sense, our shame is actually an attempt at pride or attempt at boasting and things like that. Now, it could also be, boasting could also come directly from pride. So in pride, we embrace false beliefs about ourselves that lead us to feel entitled. And I wanted to put the definition of entitled in here just so that we could see it. It says, entitled is believing oneself to be inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. So kids who feel so entitled and think the world will revolve around them. His pompous, entitled attitude. And so here somebody can say, I'm needed by my church. This church can't function without me. Where would it be? You know? It's kind of like, yeah, really, ouch, right? So oftentimes in pride, we also can boast. Now, second part with shame is we often boast because we feel unworthy. So we boast as sometimes as a defense. I may not be useful, but at least I'm smart, unlike you. So that's an example of like somebody who's like pushing back on it, but they're still coming from a place of shame. Versus pride, coming from a place of pride, because we feel entitled, we boast to gain praise. Man, I'm just such an integral part of this church. Feed me, feed me, feed me more, feed me more. Keep talking about me. Enough about you, now back to me, right? And so whenever we're in that mode, we're kind of off. So now let's break into our triads. And what we're going to do is we're going to share one reason to boast in God. So it could be an example, for example, his strength, his sovereignty, his kindness. Any of those things can work. Then take 6 minutes to discuss these three questions. What effect does prideful boasting versus shameful boasting have on biblical fellowship? How do you feel about those who brag about themselves? What would happen if the people of Westminster embraced a culture of prideful boasting in self? So what would happen to us as a church? So once again, no family members, no boyfriend, girlfriend, no twins, no none of that. Let's break into groups of three. Let's dive in and go. All righty. Let's look at some subtle forms of prideful boasting. Some of these, I've got to say, are not that subtle to me, but maybe they'll come across as subtle. So let's go with infrequently don't outright boast, especially in Christian circles, because like everybody would notice it and like, you know, we wouldn't look that great, right? So we don't really do it like that. But sometimes we fish for ways in subtle ways. So for example, productive boasting. So somebody asks, how was my week? Busy. I flew out to New York for work, closed a $20 million deal, and then it was for Paris for vacation on Wednesday. You know, just a typical week, you know? Just what I do. That's the way it is. You know? Yeah. So for me, this one was the one that wasn't as subtle as I kind of thought it was. So what else can we do? We could do the prayer bragging thing. Because of the prayer meeting we hosted, three people became Christians. That's some prayer, baby. You know? Yeah. We could also do the over worrying about looking good on Sundays. You know, man, do my shoes match my belt? Like, you know, and kind of like be struggling and, you know, my shirt all tucked in, like constantly looking in the mirror. All right. Next, we could also brag about our relationships. We had the whole gang, Jack, Nick, Perry, James, and David were there on Friday. We had a blast. Let me show you 17 videos of us being together on Friday. Right? And so sometimes, like, that's what I think Facebook is famous for, is that everybody's basically portraying something there, like that, or can be. Bragging about enviable possessions. Yeah, man, I just got my dream house. Dominican beach house, baby. Love it. I wish. But, not happening. So the whole idea is that sometimes we do this in not so obvious ways, but the idea is I'm trying to get everybody to look at me. I'm trying to get everybody to see me. I'm trying to get like praise. I'm trying to get that kind of thing going. And whenever we do it, it can be bad. So it could also be Pharisaical, like the spiritual bragging they did by being flamboyant or loud when serving, fasting, tithing, etc. You know, so, oh, this is the 17th thing I've volunteered for this year. Or whatever, you know, it could just be any one of these things that typically can do that. So some of these actions and statements might not be always wrong, but oftentimes it has to do with our heart. It's where's the focus? What are we looking to do? Are we praising God through these things, or are we really kind of just trying to get the focus back on us? And so that's the idea, is where are we focused? Where are we spending time? Because whether it's from pride or shame, if the focus is on us, it's leading us down a darker path. If the focus is on God, it goes really, really well. And obviously, we can thank God for any of these things and do this from a position of loving Him, wanting Him, desiring Him. Like, isn't it cool that three people became a Christian at this, you know, prayer meeting, right? I mean, it just depends on how you're doing it. Yes?
I was just wondering about that second one.
Yes. Yes. So let's say you hosted some sort of prayer meeting, and let's say you came here and you're sharing with us what happened. You could literally focus more on God. You know, God used the prayer meeting to bring these three people to faith. Isn't that cool? Like, something like that would be different from at my prayer meeting, because I prayed, you know, three people converted, right? Or I shared the gospel and look what happened. Like, yes. Yeah, gratitude. Yeah. That's it. That's right. I couldn't have done that. It's where, what are we acknowledging? Am I acknowledging the strength of my prayer or my hosting or my gospel saying? Or am I acknowledging the God that if I did a lousy job doing any of those three, could still have brought those three people to faith? You know, it's where's the focus? It's where we really want to, where we want to go. Now, the thing we most want praise for, just think about like what happens if somebody really wants praise. What happens when they find people who do not have what we want praise for? So let's say somebody is overly obsessed with their new dream house, and then they go to somebody's house where it's not a dream house. How are they likely to view that person? Yeah. Why would it be lesser? That's it, right? So oftentimes what happens in boasting is we choose a characteristic that we're actually really good at. And oftentimes, I mean, obviously we're not going to boast in, like, unfortunately we're not going to boast in our weaknesses like Paul does in a good way. What we're going to boast in is in our strengths. And what winds up happening is that then sets up a false comparison. So it's kind of like, I think you guys have probably all seen the meme, that if I'm boasting in my ability to climb trees, and I'm saying to a fish, go climb a tree, well, the fish ain't going to do that great of a job. It's going to not do that. Or the fish is going to clean my clock as if we're going on a race in the water. It's going to take me out, right? So oftentimes what we want to think about is watch what you want praise for, because oftentimes that's where you're going to struggle with judging others. That's where it's going to be harder for you to see them as equals. That's where it's going to be harder for you to see them as different strengths, different weaknesses, just as human as me. And at the end of the day, since we are all equals, we have different strengths, different weaknesses, what we want to remember is that we should be praising God for each other's strengths. It's really like, so I'm not very detailed-oriented. I am really glad there's someone on the team who's very detailed-oriented, because we used to put slides up with tons of mistakes and have all these people and companies looking at them, and it was pretty embarrassing. And it didn't matter how many millions of times I would go through the slides, I wouldn't catch all the mistakes. Now, it doesn't happen like that, thankfully. It's, you know, it's very rare that you guys see a mistake, because I'm not the one doing it. See? See how good that works? So a few other things. Beliefs, as we've always talked about, beliefs drive our actions. And often it's what leads to boasting is a false belief. We need others to help us see these false beliefs we're clinging to, especially because in Christian circles, the way we can boast can be a little more subtle. So even more subtle than we put on the screen. Sometimes it could just be this whiff of something. And we just have to watch it. And so we want to give you an example here using the famous Martha here. For example, take Martha's productive boasting. I can't believe Mary didn't help like I did. I mean, the house was like packed and she decided she was just going to sit around. I didn't have a choice. I think I made about 70 loaves and fish for everyone who visited that day. So if you notice in my tone, obviously, I think we just lost the... Oh, this died. Okay. I'll try to speak loudly to cover the mic, to cover the recording. So as you can see from this, she's boasting in what she's done, her production. Now, what belief could be at the root of Martha's bragging? What are some things? So obviously we can't know for sure until we talk to her, but what would might this be about?
Jesus was paying more attention to Mary
than
to her.
Yeah.
Well, that's gossip right there.
That's it, right? So one of the things that we see is that at the root of Martha's bragging could be that she felt very envious of the fact that here she's doing all this work and her sister Mary is just sitting by his feet. Like, good night, you know? And so she's kind of upset by that. Yep. Yeah.
So it's not just that she was getting to, you know, swan around and not do anything, but that she was actually getting time with Christ, and Martha couldn't because she had all these responsibilities.
Yeah.
Well, she could just say, y'all,
kitchen's this way.
Right.
Yeah, so she was probably really, really gifted and really good at taking care of a home. And so for her, she's here taking care of the home, being busy, doing the 70 loaves and everything. And here's Mary just sitting by, but Jesus is focused on Mary. He's not praising Martha, right? And he even emphasizes that Mary chose the wiser way. And that could really be like, man, I'm doing all this work and I didn't get any praise, right? So there could be a ton of reasons as to what's at the root of Martha's bragging. Now, think of how do you think Martha will relate to Mary, who's undeserving of praise? So Jesus here praises her. If she stays in that sinful side, how is she going to relate to Mary afterwards?
Presumably similar to the good brother story.
There we go. Yeah, you didn't kill a fatted calf for me. Where's my party? Why didn't I get any attention? Didn't you like the fish? Right? So it could always move really, really south because we're too focused on us. To learn more about our hearts, a great question to ask a close friend is are there times you've seen me become more excited for or focused towards anything more than I am towards Christ? That is a super revealing question because sometimes the people close to us can see it. So there's nothing wrong with being really excited about something. So one of the things I love is I love Nate's love for guitar. When he plays guitar, you could hear how much he loves it. And that's a great thing. One of the things that we want to just remember is that that could be a really good thing. It could be viewed as a gift from God, and that makes it fantastic. But there's times where it gets inordinate. And sometimes you could see it when something's threatened. When something's threatened in your life, do you kind of spike with a huge spike, with a too big of a spike of anxiety? And whatever that is, that could be something that's ahead of God at that point. Now, what do we do about our boastful hearts? So we already said gratitude. What else can we do?
Get a realistic self-image.
See the whole package, the good, the bad, the ugly. But remember that it's a package that God loves. Yes?
Looking at and analyzing, why did I feel like that was necessary for me to say that?
Yeah.
Like, what was going on in my heart? You know, what was pushing me on to do that?
What led me to say that right now? What's going on in me? What else?
just like these things that come out, and like sometimes you need, I feel like, people to talk to kind of reveal like why that might be.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so I'm terrible at figuring it out on my own. I typically have to talk to somebody. Yeah. There we go. Somebody's been around this class a little bit. The biggest thing that really helps the boasting is the same thing that helps the shame. And it's always about remembering who we are and who he is. If we can remember who we are and who he is, it cuts through both sides, pride and shame. Since I am a dearly loved child, there's no real room for shame. Since I am so flawed that he had to come down and live a perfect life for me, be crucified for me, and be my substitute, there's no room for boasting. Either way in the gospel, we can really see that it's all comes back to our identity. And so we want to leave the world of boasting in either direction. Now, one of the things that we talk about is one of the biggest antidotes to boasting is realizing that everything we have has been given us to us by God. So, yep.
That reminds me of when the Bible talks about bringing the high down.
Yeah.
Bringing the lowly up.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Our identity in Christ will bring that down.
Oh, yeah.
And then
the shameful boasting, our identity will help too. That's it. So our identity in Christ actually brings the high down and it brings the low up. And so what we want to remember is that our identity was given to us by God, but we also have a heck of a lot more things that we can remember that are good, even our strengths, even the things that we've done really well, our accomplishments. And one of the scriptures that really speaks to that is, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Notice the key word receive. The word receive there implies a gift. It does not imply an earning. It means that you were given something. So if we look at our personalities, if we look at our accomplishments, lots of them could have come through our efforts, through working hard and things like that, but what got us even on the road that we could have used our effort to achieve it? Always at the heart of it is something that God did. And so we can always go that way. Because of this, we should be giving the glory to God. And now Jeremiah 9 says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So ultimately, what we should be boasting in is that we actually know him. That's the biggest deal of our life. There's no accomplishment that any of us can do that can outdo that one. And as we talk about, the gospel was done to us. He gave us the faith to believe it. We didn't try to believe it. It was a pure gift. Or else we would have been as spiritually blind as I'm sure all of us have relatives who refuse to believe the gospel. We would have been that blind. There's no way that we can take credit for things. And so one of the things that we just always want to remember is the boasting to God is one of the biggest things. All right, let's get into our triads again. And this time what we're going to do is we're going to think back on the last year. Please share a few different moments, achievements, feelings, observations, or thoughts that you had that made you feel proud and happy. What did God give you to steward that led you to feel proud and happy at those times? You can think about your intellect, your relationships, your time, your energy, your health, the ability to practice, learn, grow, whatever it was. Are there ways you've been using what God's given you to boast in yourself? So in other words, I have a gift of X. Am I making it about me or am I making it about him? How can you better steward what God has given you for his glory and not for your own? What has God given you to steward that you may not currently be using for his glory but should? So we're getting deeper here. Let's do this for 7 minutes. Go. All righty, what questions do we have? What questions do we have? Yes, sir.
Feeling pride about your children.
Yeah.
Good, bad, and different, does it come under any of those things?
So there's a great kind of pride that we can have, but it always has to do with our motivation. It always has to do with our motivation. So Sammy this weekend played a trumpet recital, and he was the last one to go. And I took a video of it, and at the end of the video, I didn't realize that I had lowered the camera, so I only got like this part of Sam, because I was like so thrilled by what he did that I was just, I was beaming. I mean, I don't know how else to phrase it. I was so stoked. And it's like, oh, I'm filming, you know, back up, you know. So there's kind of like, you know, we lost the trumpet in his face for, I don't know how many seconds, I think, like 30, I don't know, remember, 20 seconds or something like that. And so what was my motivation for that? I mean, I was just so proud of all the effort he put in to learn the trumpet, to play it as well as he did. And if you listen to the beginning, it sounds like he's like a professional. I was just like, oh my goodness, is this my kid? It's like, where did this come from, right? So there's just kind of that. Now, I could have turned it to the negative, right? So there was, so I'm going to say this, and I know this is going to sound awful because I'm his dad, but he was definitely the best one. And I'm not saying that just because, I'm not just saying that because he's my kid. But I could have said, yeah, you know, that's my son. You know that, right? Yep. My boy. Right? I mean, I could have had kind of this chip on my shoulder. I could have done it that way, right? You know, we could have trash-talked the other parents. You know, your kid biffed it in, like, all these sections, but my son, you know, we could have gone that way, right? So there's lots of ways that we could have done this pride in a really negative way. But the reality is, I just remember at one time, Grace and I looked at each other, and we were both like, oh, my goodness, who is this? Like, and he lives in our house, you know, and it's like, and it might be that I'm not musical, so maybe I don't know enough, you know, and that's, I'll accept it. But it was just smooth and great. And so I would say that's a positive form of pride. Yes?
I think another way that I've found as a parent, when you're feeling like in that kind of a setting, mm-hmm. is purposefully going and complimenting other parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
And complimenting their kids. And that helps to keep your pride.
Oh, yeah.
The inappropriate pride from sneaking in.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. But the natural thing, so, like, one of the things that we want to just think about is that just think about what happens when you're watching your favorite sport or your favorite player, and your favorite sport or favorite player does something amazing. The natural thing you want to do is praise it. That's just the natural thing. Did you see that shot? That was amazing. Like, that's just like the natural thing that just happens, right? So I'm a big Rafa Nadal fan. I can't get enough of him on clay. And, you know, whenever I see this amazing shot of his, it's like it bursts out into praise because it's like it's just amazing. But what we want to remember is that we want to remember who gave him the gift to play tennis like that. We want to get, we or whatever your sport team is, and just remember where it ultimately comes from, but we could still praise the person for doing that amazing work. Make sense? What else we got? Yes, sir.
As a grandparent, I take great pride in taking working hobbies with my kids. Like my one grandson was in the derbies to work with him. Competition to see how well he did. His dad had a birthday and he wanted to build a toolbox.
Yeah.
And so working together with him, I took great pride.
That's it.
To have accomplished these kind of things.
Yeah. There's this kind of way that we want to boast, but it's a boast that's not about making our children or grandchildren above God. It's more just feeling consumed. For me, it's like I feel this incredible passion and love for them when I'm in that state. And so it's more that way. Awesome. What else we got? Yes?
How do you interact with people who are boasting without, like, stoking their flame? I guess you say, like, oh, that's awesome, praise God, or something like that, or, like, oh, I'm
Sorry? Yeah, seriously. That's a great question. So oftentimes, like, I'm thinking about a friend of mine that that isn't as close to me as he once was. So this is a really long time friend. He was one of my groomsmen, and we were like, we did everything together. But he kind of went down a dark path. I don't know how else to describe it. And it's just, he's absolutely consumed with himself. And that's what it feels, and it just pains me to watch it. Because it just, like, what I'm watching is this guy that I've known way longer than I've known my wife, you know, and then now it just feels like it's all about me, now back to me, but yet he's got no results to show for it, like at all. And a lot of this pride is coming from this place of insecurity. He's older than me, so he feels like he's blown his life, and he's not really accomplished what he thought he should accomplish. And so oftentimes when it's somebody that I'm sensing the pride's coming from insecurity, I feel a kind of sense of compassion, and more what I'd usually try to do is find something legit that's really cool about what's going on for that person, but say it more in a way of gratitude. So he's got two beautiful children. Like, they're just gorgeous kids. And so being able to point to these two gorgeous kids and how much they love them would be a way of kind of directing the conversation away from where he's trying to get this false thing going that usually feels kind of repulsive. Frank, I mean, it just feels repulsive to me, probably because I've known him for so long, and it's just like, what are you doing? It's like, oh man, are we going to spend our time talking about this now? And like, that's what's going into my head. I don't say that out loud, but it's just going through my head, because it just feels like, ooh. But redirecting is often sometimes where I go. And then sometimes, depending on the level of trust, we'll actually talk about it. You know, it's kind of like, what are you going through right now that led you to say that? And if I sense the person's open to change, I'll go for it. But in a case like his, he's not open to change. And so anytime I've tried to do that in the past, things went south. And then he wouldn't talk to me for like 3 months or something. And you're just like, ugh, you know, that's frustrating. And so I have to remember me. I have to remember sometimes my own struggles to change, my own struggles to desire to change, my own resistance to it. You know, so it's like sometimes we have to see what's going on from both directions in order to go there. Make sense? What else we got? Yes, sir.
How do we graciously and humbly accept?
Great question. Yeah, so notice what my son did when we talked about it. What did you notice he do?
He made faces.
Yep. What else did he do?
He was itching to show it off.
Yeah, so he's got his trumpet in the car. He's running out now. Ready? What did you notice him do? Did you guys notice? He blushed. He smiled. He's blushing now. He's smiling now, right? He's like, all right, Dad, enough, right? So the whole idea here is that sometimes it is hard for us to receive praise. But if we can flip it to, where did this come from? So where did he get the gift for trumpet? Where did he get the gift for electric guitar? Like, what started this? It then becomes something that God's produced as a package in us. So it actually could shift towards praising him. You know, so when Nate took his first flight lesson and the instructor said all these praising things, not realizing it's his first lesson, his first time in a plane, I felt really proud. But it could have been hard for him to receive it. It could have been awkward. But if he flips it towards, God gave me an instinct, or gave me however you want to phrase it, it often helps. Flip it that way. And then the second thing is, you do want to receive it, because oftentimes when the person is praising you for something, it's actually joyful to them, not just to you. So if you just think about times when you praise something, it typically produces a joy in us. It's really cool that that happened. And then it could be something that could be fun, but make it more about God. Awesome. Yes, sir. Great.
So if we have talents, God's gift, is it wrong or is it sinful not?
Absolutely, I would say it is sinful to not use those talents. I would say it falls under the parable of the five, the two, and the one talent, and the managers. I would say it totally falls there. So that's part of when we talked about our call and our woe to me's and those kinds of things. It's like, we're absolutely commanded to do that. You know, so like... not that I want to point to her after I kind of embarrassed her last time, but my wife has retired and unretired from teaching a lot, you know, because she does it part-time, and then she, you know, she wants to give it up for a little bit, and then she picks it back up again. She's like, I remember the first history conversation we had. I was captivated. And I went to New York. So, I mean, everything in New York was math and science. It's like, history felt like the same lesson every year for 12 years. I mean, it just felt like it was like, I didn't really learn much. But I would have become a history major after that conversation. And that's great. So her using her talent for history has helped our children. It's helped students. It's her doing it in her way. And I think that's phenomenal. And I would say that part of the struggle when she retires is some of that. It's hard for her to not use a gift that God's given her with. And so we do definitely want to use it. Awesome questions. Yes, sir?
Mr. Robinson.
Oh, yes.
So I was just curious. You had a question over there about what would you think would happen to Westminster if we adopted a culture of prideful boasting?
Yes.
I'm curious what you think would happen.
Yeah, so oftentimes, like, what winds up happening when a culture becomes prideful is they become very self-centered and self-focused. So the idea of reaching out to others, unless those others enhanced you, you wouldn't do it. Right?
So it
would totally kill fellowship. It would kind of turn it into an elitist, yeah, that's it, an elitist country club clique, where only the people that are, you know, good enough to be in here can be in here. You know, it's like it becomes one of those. Yeah, so some of the churches that I've spoken at seem to really relish in that. So some of it is that they're are really good at getting out all the negative things that are happening, so they can actually voice it better than we do in this church. But it feels like they do it to more beat themselves up as opposed to really get the healing that they need through fellowship to be able to grow. And so either way, if you look at the way we're looking at pride and shame, what we see at the root of it is the self-focused. Once you become self-focused, it's not about God anymore. It's about you. It just is whether you're being prideful or you're being shameful, but it's about you. Ultimately, you're worshiping yourself. And we weren't built to worship ourselves. We actually deteriorate. We go south. And so the whole idea is when a culture starts moving in either of these directions, it usually goes really bad. It kills fellowship altogether. People start hiding, manipulating, because nobody's as good as the pride wants to say that it is. Or worse, what happens, like if you're boasting in trumpet playing and then somebody comes in and is like a phenomenal trumpet player, right? I mean, it's like he'd be crushed if he was there. He'd probably want to give up the trumpet immediately. I've lost my gift. But he didn't lose his gift. Just somebody happens to be better. Anything else we got? Yes, sir.
Question.
Please.
Talked about Westminster.
Yes.
You know, we've started at several different churches.
Yes.
Who have flourished very well.
Yes.
Ours as a church, we see our own church really growing.
Yeah.
It seems like, is that something we can boast about?
I think it comes from the place of the heart, yeah. Right? And so oftentimes in Scripture what we find, so for example, lying is a sin. Right? So all of us can point to all these different places that says lying is a sin. Rahab the prostitute's right next to Abraham in the hall of faith in Hebrew 11. Why? Well, because she lied. But what was it really that got her there? What got her there was her faith to believe in God, and then she protected the Israelites through a lie. So she's here being uplifted for something that seems like it should be wrong. But the reality is it has to do with where her heart was. I could help an old lady across the street and be taking selfies as I'm doing it, right? I mean, it's like I could do all sorts of different things. And it wouldn't be helping the old lady across the street. It's boasting my pride. I'm not giving her a gift. I'm giving myself the gift of that walking across the street, which I would say is sinful. Let me just help her or not help her, right? But not sin while helping her. And then claiming something really good about it. So if we think about the Pharisees, they were masters at fasting, but they were also masters at showing that they were fasting so that everybody can say, oh, look at your struggle. Boy, you're something else. So they're not fasting to God. They're fasting to themselves. So it always has to do with motivation. And we have to really discern the heart. That's part of why we need friends.
That's part of why we need people in our lives to be able to say, hey, bro, that sounded a little like this. Because that sometimes helps us. I just realized that people are supposed to get to choir, and I should have said that about 7 minutes ago. Anybody that needs to go, feel free. Or if you've got kids in the nursery, please pick them up so that they can go to the choir and take off that way. Any other questions? These questions were great. Let me just ask, Craig, would you mind closing us in prayer since the pastors aren't here? Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for the series that we have been in for fellowship in these last months. We thank you, Lord, for the teaching and work that's gone into preparing these lessons. We pray that these would not fall on deaf ears and that they would not be applied to our lives, but that we would be renewed in our fellowship and that we would be renewed in thinking about others and about you and far less about ourselves. Pray, Lord, that we would go this week and we would go in the assurance and confidence of our identity in Christ, who we are, who you say that we are, and not what we say of ourselves or what the world and flesh or the devil says. We give you praise and we give you thanks in Christ's name.
Amen. So the next 3 weeks is going to be recap. We're going to get templates. You're going to get a lot of details that are going to hopefully help you to do this outside of here. Enjoy.